mummified. The skulls were encased in a tight mask of brown leather, the eyes long vanished into the shadowed sockets. The jaw gaped, held in place only by shreds of gristle, like old whipcord. The bodies had been wrapped in a shroud of thin, plasticized cloth that had probably been white, but had deteriorated to a patchy yellow. The skeletal hands and feet emerged from under the bindings, hooked and sere.
Take a look at this double poor bastard. Looks like he sort of recovered some when the machine folded up.
Doc was at Ryan's side, wiping at the smeared glass.
Lord, Lord. It puts me in mind of a tale from Mr. Poe concerning a premature burial of a wretch who... Oh, dear.
It was a dreadful sight. The person, male by the short strands of straggling hair that clung to the top of the wrinkled skull, had made a fight of it. The winding cloth was torn and bunched near the feet. The knees were drawn up and the back arched, the arms lifted, hands pressed toward the sky, as he had attempted to lift the massive weight of the locked lid. The head was tilted, jaw yawning in what must have been the last muffled, choking scream for air, the dying calling out to a world that was already dead.
I'd hate to get chilled in a metal box. When I'm gone, I want it with children all around, and friends, and a hill covering by heather, with the sun, and a big watery fall. That's how I'm going to be gone.
How long do you figure the thawing's gonna take, Doc?
Christy frowned through the glass at the wreathing coils of gas and steam that still encircled the remaining 9 cubicles.
I fear that I have no idea, my dear girl. Time past and time present are both, perhaps... What am I saying? No, I can speculate that the full freezing process must have taken many, many hours, perhaps even days. But we have pressed the emergency button, and everything will, I suppose, be much speeded.
But it'll still take some time.
Doc shrugged his shoulders.
You were as wise as I in this, my dear. We must all wait for however long it takes.
The room contained nothing of interest to any of them, so the next few hours dragged slowly by. Doc sat in a corner with his back against a wall, Laurie's head in his lap. Jack pared his nails with one of his assortment of throwing knives. JB repeatedly stripped and reassembled his new blaster, eventually becoming so familiar with the weapon that he could do it with Ryan's scarf knotted tightly over his eyes. Christy and Ryan strolled together around the rows of control consoles, her hand resting lightly on his arm.
What's that you're singing, Christy?
Oh, that? It's an old ballad from way, way back before Skydark. About a baron who catches his young wife making love with another man. He bursts in on them, his wife and this Maddie Groves, and he's got all his sec men with him. And he threatens him. Says they should have a fair fight.
Doesn't sound very fair.
It's not. But he says, in England it shall not be said I slew a sleeping man. But Maddie Groves doesn't have a chance. He gets chilled, but the wife turns on her husband and says they're all through.
Sing it, lover.
A holiday, and the first one of the year. Lord Donald's wife came into the church, the gospel for to hear. And when the meeting it was done, she cast her eyes about, and there she saw little Maddie Groves walking in the crowd. Come home with me, little Maddie Groves. Come home with me tonight. Come home with me, little Maddie Groves, and sleep with me till light. Oh, I can't come home, I won't come home, and sleep with you tonight. By the rings on your fingers, I can tell you are my master's wife. But if I am Lord Donald's wife, Lord Donald's not at home. He is out in the far cornfields, bringing the yearlings home. And a servant who was standing by, and hearing what was said, he swore Lord Donald he would know before the sun would set. And in his hurry to carry the news, he bent his breast and ran. And when he came to the broad mill stream, he took off his shoes and he swam. Little Matty Groves, he lay down and took a little sleep. When he awoke, Lord Donald was standing at his feet, saying, "How do you like my feather bed? And how do you like my sheets? How do you like my lady who lies in your arms asleep? Oh, well, I like your feather bed, and well, I like your sheets, but better I like your lady gay who lies in my arms asleep." "Well, get up," Lord Donald cried, "get up as quick as you can. It'll never be said in fair England that I slew a naked man. Oh, I can't get up, I won't get up, I can't get up for my life, for you have two long beaten swords, and I not a pocket knife. Well, it's true I have two beaten swords, and they cost me deep in the purse, but you will have the better of them, and I will have the worse. And you will strike the very first blow, and strike it like a man. I will strike the very next blow, and I'll kill you if I can." So Matty struck the very first blow, and he hurt Lord Donald sore. Lord Donald struck the very next blow, and Matty struck no more. And then Lord Donald took his wife, and he sat her on his knee, saying, "Who do you like the best of us, Matty Groves or me?" And then up spoke his own dear wife, never heard to speak so free, "I'd rather a kiss from dead Matty's lips than you or your finery." Lord Donald, he jumped up, and loudly he did bawl. He struck his wife right through the heart and pinned her against the wall. "A grave," Lord Donald cried, "to put these lovers in. But bury my lady at the top, for she was of noble kin."
Beautiful, my dear silver-throated Miss Roth. I had heard the song before, sung by a maiden in the Ozarks when I was a callow youth, but not so finely as you have sung it. Brava, my dear, brava.
Anything happening, Jack?
No, can't see. Wait.
Jack pushed his face against the glass, trying the sec-locked handle.
Still shut tight, but looks like it's clearing.
It's about time. Yeah, I can see the lids up. Can't make anything inside them yet. Too much of that mist.
They gonna be skeletons like the others, Doc?
Frankly, ma'am, should any of them actually be returned to some sort of life, I think we might be more concerned about their brains than their bodies.
Doc continued to try to monitor the dials, seeking some kind of pattern that might tell him how the thawing was going.
It looks to me like a basic draining of coolant combined with some sort of bodily fluid replacement and reassessment. Blood coming in and the artificially frozen preservatives thawing and seeping out of the system. All sorts of artificial stimulants and nourishments pumping in as well.
Any signs of actual monitoring?